Proposition 122 is named Access to Natural Psychedelic Substances, but it's focused more on the decriminalization of psychedelic substances instead of legalization. So what's the difference, and how will decriminalization allow for more access?
Sure. There's sort of two parts to this. One is the decriminalization. So that basically means, you know, if the police pull you over and they find you've got magic mushrooms in your car or something like that, they can't arrest you for that. They can't prosecute for it. The decriminalization would allow people to grow magic mushrooms, to possess magic mushrooms, to use magic mushrooms. It wouldn't allow them to sell magic mushrooms other than through a specific pathway that the state would set up for the treatment of various mental health conditions through what's known as psilocybin-assisted therapy, in which, you know, you go to a therapist, consume the drug there on the spot. And this is not intended to sort of encourage recreational use. It's really intended to create a pathway for people with mental health conditions to be able to get treatment using these plant-based compounds under the supervision of a therapist.
Colorado was the first state to legalize marijuana. We are now the second state to possibly allow the use of certain psychedelics. Do you expect the path to legalization, if it is passed, of these psychedelics will follow and mirror the path of cannabis throughout the United States?
I don't think you'll see the corner psilocybin shops like we see, you know, obviously with that marijuana here in Colorado. It won't be that kind of, you know, free and open access. But what it could do is provide some treatments for mental health conditions, which right now we just don't have really great answers for.
I read your KHN article that you wrote with Matt Voles, where you talk a lot about this ballot initiative and what it could do potentially for mental health.
Yeah. So the clinical trials are done under really, really strict protocols. So we're just trying to test out, one, the safety of these drugs under this kind of treatment protocol, and two, whether it seems to have some effect. And the initial studies have been, I mean, really compelling. It's small numbers, obviously, but the kinds of response rates that they're getting are just something we don't see with many pharmaceutical drugs. So, you know, a good treatment for depression right now, maybe 40 to 50% of people would react to that treatment. And it's a drug that you would have to take every day, probably for the rest of your life, for it to continue to have an effect. With psilocybin, we see these treatment effects after only one administration. So people come in, they have their session, they go through their therapy, and they report significant progress in symptoms of depression, symptoms of anxiety, symptoms of PTSD. So it's really quite compelling, you know, and these effects last for months, 3, 6, 9 months out. Patients are still reporting improvement in their symptoms. There's also really good evidence on for substance abuse, things like smoking cessation, alcoholics, even some opiate type drugs. Psilocybin just seems to sort of reset these patients' brains, and they're able to break out of these negative patterns that they have been in, whether that's for depression or anxiety or substance use. Now, the caveat here is that these have been really small studies. So we need to do these studies in a much larger group of people. And sometimes when you do it in a larger group of people, the rarer side effects come out and you realize, okay, well, this might not be a solution for these people. But I do expect that it could get FDA approval and could be, you know, the new way that we treat these very tough to treat mental health issues.
It does seem very interesting that you could, you know, try it one time and experience benefits for 6, 9 months. That also makes sense why it would be more accessible, because you pay for refills, you pay, and it's just ongoing and ongoing until either you never stop or one day you have to learn kind of how to live without it. In these clinical trials, who would you say is the perfect candidate?
Clinical trials have been trying to find solutions for people who don't have solutions elsewhere. So they're looking at people with hard to treat depression, people who have gone from one antidepressant to another and nothing seems to work for them. Can psilocybin be the answer for that?
Those in opposition to this measure worry that there's not enough research to legitimize the legalization of psychedelic mushrooms and plants for medical and recreational use. Why should or shouldn't we wait for more research to come out before we vote on this measure?
So the researchers are the ones who are really saying, let's do this the right way. Let's make sure we've done the research to show that this is safe and this is effective in these types of people, so that this treatment can come and help the masses. You do have a lot of people who are concerned that, you know, we opened a certain door with marijuana legalization. And while there haven't been widespread negative ramifications, there have been some problems with that. And I think there are a lot of advocates that are saying, hey, let's not rush into this and create a situation where we don't know what the outcomes will be. So it'll be really fascinating to watch. And in Colorado, you know, if this passes, they would start with psilocybin, but by 2026, they could add things like mescaline, ibogaine, DMT. So it could potentially open up an entire new range of treatments and treatment protocols that we haven't seen for people that really need a lot of help.
Markian Harluck is a senior Colorado correspondent at Kaiser Health News. He's been reporting on Proposition 122, a ballot measure asking voters to decriminalize psychedelic substances, including psilocybin, on this year's ballot. Markian, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Claire. I really appreciate you having me on.
For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.